Good afternoon, everyone, and a very warm welcome. And though we're not meeting each other in the building, but importantly, we're meeting in the presence of God, and we have the privilege of collectively worshipping our God. So do give you a very warm welcome, and a special welcome to Peter Rush. Peter took the service this morning and gave us an excellent and challenging message for us. And thank you, Peter, for this morning. And we're looking forward to you bringing God's word to us a bit later on in the service. So thank you for coming. Thanks, everyone, for joining us. Pray that God will speak to each one of us as we worship him together. One or two notices for the coming week. I think most of them, practically all of them, are told to us, informed us this morning by John. But I just mentioned one or two things for you. Our midweek meetings is on Thursday. And quarter past seven, the Bible study. We carry on with the theme of the names of Jesus. And this week is the name of Alpha and Omega, where the Lord Jesus is referred to. So do please come, do join at quarter past seven. And after a little break after that, and quarter past eight, we'll be meeting together for prayer. And so do join us for prayer as well. Prayer is so important in the life of the church. And so do pray. Do come and join us on Thursday. Other thing I've got to mention to you is I think we're all aware, and particularly the ladies are well aware, of Women to Women meeting, and that is on the 28th of November. The invitation's been sent out to all the church folks, and will you remember the meeting in your prayer, and would you also remember to invite, particularly to the ladies, I say, invite other ladies to join us on that day. So that is on the 28th of November. Any more information, see Sarah, Margaret, or Ruth on that one. And we also must remember next Sunday morning service and the afternoon service, and that'll be taken by Josh. So do pray, please, for Josh in the coming week as he looks at the passages, relevant passages, and also as he spent time in prayer and preparation. So do bring him before the Lord. I said prayer is very important in the life of the church, because God answers prayer marvelously and wonderfully. And we've been away a week, and I come back, and a couple of encouraging one telephone call and one encouraging emails. I've been thrilled with the with those, how God has wonderfully answered those prayers. So we must carry on praying. And when Solomon built the temple, and you remember, after he built the temple, he prayed. And we're going to have a look at that three verses in 2 Chronicles 7. Verses 1 to 3, and what happens when Solomon prayed and God answered his prayer. Let me read to you Solomon 7, 2 Chronicles 7, verses 1 to 3. As soon as Solomon finished his prayer, fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the temple. And the priests could not enter the house of the Lord, because the glory of the Lord filled the Lord's house. When all the people of Israel saw the fire came down and the glory of the Lord on the temple, they bowed down with their faces to the ground on the pavement and worshipped and gave thanks to the Lord, saying, "For he is good, and his steadfast love endures forever." Well, we have the same God. We worship the same God. And in our attitude, we should be bowing down on the pavements and worshiping that holy and the righteous God. And our first hymn reflects that theme as we sing our first hymn, Glory be to God the Father, glory be to God the Son, glory be to God the Spirit, great Jehovah, three in one. Glory, glory, while eternal ages run. So we can sing loudly and clearly in our own homes and sing mostly to the glory of God. Thank you. What a great song, because we bring in glory to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Let's all pray together. What a privilege, dear God, we have of bringing before you our requests. And first of all, bringing before you our praise and thanksgiving. We thank you that you are the eternal God, God who's unique in his being, in his power, in his ability, unique who in the way you order things and the way you created things. We thank you that everything that exists is because you created it. We thank you that everything, the whole creation, bring glory and praise to your name. We want to thank you that you are the triune God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And we want to thank you for the way you work together in Holy Trinity and in Holy Unity. And we praise you and worship you because though you're one, you work in three different ways. We praise you and worship you, dear God. We ask this afternoon you help us that as we worship you, it might be not just with our lips, but from our very hearts. That our praise and thanksgiving will be from genuinely from the bottom of our hearts and the bottom of our being. We thank you for what you've done for us. We've been reminded through that hymn, we just had, that glory to the Lamb of God. Lord, we thank you that the Lamb of God, and who takes away the sin of the world, is our Savior and our God. We thank you that he deserved to be praised and deserved our thanks because of what he'd done for us even this evening. And we ask you, help us that we might focus on you. Let nothing distract us from our surrounding, our environments, or in our own being. We pray that we might think of God and God alone, that we might worship you, that we might not be distracted by anything else. We pray that you will accept our thanksgiving. Lord, we do pray for the people we are in fellowship with, people who are believers, people who love you here, and we commit them to you. And we, first of all, Father, we do pray for Arlene Burroughs' family, and we pray for Toby, and we pray for Lucy, and we ask you be with them as they in bereavement. We ask that you help them. We ask, Lord, this might also be the time where they think about you, they think about God whom Arlene came to know and love. We ask you will draw them to yourself, and we ask that they might come to experience the love of Christ in their own hearts, in their own lives too. We pray, Father, for Edna Alban. We commit her to you. We realize she's on her own and finding life quite a struggle. And we ask, Lord, that in her loneliness, that she might find joy in knowing Christ. We ask that you will draw her to yourself. She might have that faith, that trust in the living Christ. We ask you will be with her and comfort and encourage her, we pray this time. Lord, we also pray for those who are caring for one another, and we realize that caring can be very tiring and can be very demanding, and it's indeed a 24/7 job. And we realize we are human beings, and we do get weary and worn, and we do get tired. We pray, Father, that you will grant strength and the energy which is needed for caring for our brothers and sisters and our parents, and we bring them before you. We pray, Father, for John and Kathy Wallace. We thank you that John's procedure's been done and everything appeared to be okay. We ask that he might be fully healed and restored. We pray for Alan and Margaret and Hannah as they look after her. We also, Lord, bring to you Derek and Christine, who's still at Colville Hospital. We pray that you will have your hand upon her. We ask you will strengthen her. We ask that Christine might remember the days, those days when she completely was with you and full of praise and thanksgiving. And we ask that you will grant her that healing and restoring. We pray for her. We pray for Daddy because he cares for her as well. We pray for Eric and Janet, and we ask you be with Eric and also Janet as she cares for Eric. We ask that you will strengthen Janet with her caring responsibilities too. Lord, we pray for John and Pauline as Pauline cares for John. And we pray also for Dave and Pat Bennett. And we ask that you be with Pat, Lord, as she finds of which way to turn to in medical issues. We ask you help her, help the medics, and help her with the decision in the coming day. We thank you for Dave and the way he cares for her as well. We pray also, Lord, for Barry and Joy, caring for Joy's mom, Maureen, and we ask you strengthen Joy as she looks after her mum. We pray, Lord, also for Isabel, and we ask that you be with her and help her, grant her full recovery, Lord. We ask that whatever is the medical situation with her, it might be cleared, and we ask that she be able to join with us again in worshiping the true and the living God. We commit her care and our healing, her restoration into your hands. Lord, we also realize that living on your own is not easy. It's hard even for people who got other spouses and partners and so on, but it must be very hard for those who are living on their own. Lord, we commit them into your care. We pray for Kim, and we pray for Lee, and we pray for Graham, and we pray for Jennifer and Daphne, and we pray for Edna, and we pray for Derek McDonald and Heather. We pray, pray for Di, and Lord, we also remember to you Bob and Yvonne and Anne and Jane, Lord. We pray that they might know a real presence of Christ with them. And though they're on their own, we pray they might not feel lonely because Christ is with them through this time. We also pray, Father, for ourselves this afternoon. And we ask that you will, by your word, speak to us. And we pray you give us understanding. We pray also that the word which we hear might not just reach our ears only. We pray that it might dig deep into our hearts. And it might transform our attitude and our lives, that they become more like the Lord Jesus. We ask you will transform us into the likeness of him. Please help us be with Peter, Lord, as he explained your word to us. And we ask that you will have your hand upon him. Thank you for him. And we pray that your blessing. We do bring the fellowship and Market Overton to you. We ask that you will be with them. And may they know also the love of Christ with them. We pray that you will bless them and encourage them in the days to come. So, Lord, we commit each other to you, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to have a Bible reading. That's going to be Neelu is going to bring scriptures to us. Thank you, Neelu.
The Bible reading is from Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, starting at verse 1. Therefore, my brothers, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm thus in the Lord, my beloved. I entreat Euodia and I entreat Syntyche to agree in the Lord. Yes, I ask you also, true companion, help these women who have labored side by side with me in the gospel, together with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your reasonableness to be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at length you have revived your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. Not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Yet it was kind of you to share my trouble. And you Philippians yourselves know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving, except you only. Even in Thessalonica, you sent me help for my needs once and again. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that increases to your credit. I have received full payment and more. I am well supplied, having received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Greet every saint in Christ Jesus. The brothers who are with me greet you. All the saints greet you, especially those of Caesar's household. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. May the Lord bless the reading and hearing of his word. Amen.
Thank you, Nele. I'm going to pass over to you now to Peter, who's going to bring God's word to us.
Thank you, Fakir. Thank you, Nilu, for that reading. It is great to be able to join with you again tonight, not quite in the way that we'd hoped to join, but it is great to see you. We bring greetings from Mark at Overton Free Church, and it's good to fellowship together in this way. Well, we live in a time of anxiety. People are anxious about their health and the health of loved ones. People are anxious about their work and finances. People are anxious about their education and their future. How can we have peace at such an anxious time? Well, the passage gives us a wonderful answer. Look there in verses 6 to 9. These will be the focus of our meditation this evening. Philippians chapter 4 and verses 6 to 9. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honourable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is any worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. And so just in the compass of these verses, we have the peace of God as guardian, and the God of peace as companion. And that's the joy that we can know in times of anxiety. The peace of God as guardian and the God of peace as companion. So the peace of God as guardian in verses 6 and 7, Paul tells us what not to do, what to do, and what the result will be. What not to do, what to do, and what the result will be. What not to do? Do not be anxious about anything. We might think that's asking the impossible, not to be anxious about anything. Some anxiety and care is proper. And earlier in this very letter, Paul has spoken about that. Back in verse 20 of chapter 2, he's speaking about Timothy. And he says there in chapter 2 of Philippians, verse 20, I have no one like him who will be genuinely concerned for your welfare. That's exactly the same word. He was anxious for their welfare. And that was a good thing, that Timothy was anxious, concerned, worried about the welfare of the Philippians. Paul himself speaks about the anxiety he has for all the churches in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 28. And that was a proper anxiety and a care and a concern and a worry that he had for those believers. What is Paul speaking about here? Well, he's speaking about the same thing that the Lord Jesus spoke about on the Sermon on the Mount when he says, do not worry about what you will eat or drink or wear. He's speaking about fretful, fearful, faithless worry. Fretful, fearful, faithless worry. Do you remember in the Sermon on the Mount, parable of the sower, Jesus says in Luke 8, the seed that fell among thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures. What we're speaking about here, what Paul is speaking about, is what we might call weedy worries, not worry beads, but worry weeds. These are things that grow rapidly, but are unproductive and damaging. And anxiety can be like that. It can suddenly come and grow uncontrolled, but it's not productive. It's damaging. And so Paul says, do not be anxious. Don't have that weedy worry that's going to dominate, but not actually produce things. If you want to see weeds that dominate, yeah, you'll have to visit me here in Market Overton and look at my lovely garden, which is even the lawn is covered in weeds. Weeds can dominate. And when anxieties begin to dominate, then they are harmful and they are to be resisted. What not to do? Excuse me. Do not be anxious about anything. Well, Paul doesn't just say that. He gives us the antidote to that, which is what to do, which is to ensure that in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Cares, concerns, anxieties, worries will arise in this world, but we're to turn them into requests to God. That's what Paul is telling us. Anxiety, someone has written, anxiety cannot continue to breathe easily in an atmosphere suffused with prayer. Paul is speaking about the careful, patient spreading of our needs before God, detailing our situation and our anxieties. We're to present our requests by prayer. That's a general calling upon God by prayer and by supplication, bringing particular needs, entreaties to the Lord with thanksgiving, remembering and recognizing that God has so seasonably, generously, faithfully taken care of things before. That's the benefit of thanksgiving, that it's a reminder to us that God has seasonably, generously, faithfully taken care of things before for us in our own experience, in our lives, for us as a church and for God's people. And so we can bring these things to God in prayer. We can turn them over to him rather than just going round and round and round in our minds unproductively. We pour them out to the Lord, set them before him and lay them out, open our hearts to him. What not to do? Do not be anxious about anything. What to do in everything? By prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. What the result will be, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. What a glorious result that this will be, the peace of God, William Hendrickson says that this sweet peace originates in God, who himself possesses it in his own person. He's the God of peace because he possesses this peace in himself. He is a God of serene composure and quiet tranquility. That's what God is like, supreme composure, quiet tranquility. This is a peace that is his. He's the God. It's the peace of God. But it's also the peace that he dispenses and provides. He's the author of this peace. And it's a peace that enables us, to use our phrase these days, to keep it together. Anxiety, the word anxiety, has to do with things being split into parts and we're going one way and the other. We don't know. But peace, the peace of God, enables us to keep things together as we lay them before him, as we look to him. The peace of God, his own peace, the peace that he generously and fully supplies. That peace will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. You know that Philippi, where these believers were living, that Paul was writing to, was a Roman colony. And the Pax Romana, as it's called, the Roman peace, was maintained by soldiers. The legionaries were sent out to keep the peace, to keep the roads safe, to suppress brigands and bandits. They were there to guard the peace. Roman soldiers put down disturbances and maintained order. Well, that's the very thing that God's peace will do as we open our hearts to him in prayer, as we lay our concerns and worries and anxieties before him. God's peace will prevent disorder breaking out in our decisions, as in our hearts, and in our deliberations, in our minds and thoughts. You are in a world full of trouble and anxiety, far from the heavenly city of which you are a citizen, but God sends a garrison of peace to guard you while you are away from your homeland, a garrison of peace. God sends to guard and keep you in times of anxiety and trouble and worry and care. And it's the peace of God which will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. John Bunyan very helpfully said, if we have not quiet in our minds, outward comfort will do no more for us than a golden slipper on a gouty foot. If you've ever had gout, you'll know how painful that is, terribly painful. Well, a golden slipper won't bring any comfort. We need peace in our hearts, peace in our minds, and this is what God provides for us. And it's a peace that transcends and surpasses all understanding. The Greek word for understanding is the word nous. We use it, so someone's got some nous. It's something that overtops, surpasses, outdoes anything mere human nous can achieve. In the Lang series of commentaries, the commentator says, sometimes, indeed, even our reason performs good service against care and promotes contentment of mind, but too often our reason itself is the fountain of many cares, or at least meets with cases where it is entirely helpless. We need something beyond mere reason and understanding, and it's the peace of God that is that guardian that keeps us. Again, the Lutheran commentator Richard Lenski says, the nous bravely tries to hold the fort, but is ever a poor guard or protector compared to the peace of God. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And I think that's referring to the location where this peace of God will guard and keep us. Again, as William Hendrickson says, the man of trust and prayer has entered that impregnable citadel from which no one can dislodge him. And the name of that fortress is Christ Jesus. Let me quote to you again a hymn we're not able to sing as much as usual, but I'm going to quote another great hymn that sets this truth before us, that the peace is in connection with Christ Jesus. Peace, perfect peace, in this dark world of sin, the blood of Jesus whispers peace within. Peace, perfect peace, by thronging duties pressed to do the will of Jesus, this is rest. Peace, perfect peace, with sorrows surging round, on Jesus' bosom naught but calm is found. Peace, perfect peace, with loved ones far away, in Jesus' keeping we are safe and they. Peace, perfect peace, our future all unknown, Jesus we know, and he is on the throne. Peace, perfect peace, death shadowing us and ours. Jesus has vanquished death and all its powers. It is enough. Earth's struggles soon shall cease, and Jesus call us to heaven's perfect peace. It's the peace of God that surpasses all understanding that will guard our hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. They will be yours if you are in Christ Jesus. Are you in union with Christ Jesus by a living faith that's turned from trusting in yourself and in your own nous? You're trusting in Christ Jesus and who he is and what he has accomplished. And that will bring you, that alone will bring you this peace in the midst of trouble. Saw a quote from a pastor in Wuhan, China, where this present pandemic began. And he said this: it is really apparent that we are facing a test of our faith. Christ has already given us his peace, but his peace is not to remove us from disaster and death, but rather to have peace in the midst of disaster and death. Because Christ has already overcome these things. The peace of God in Christ Jesus will guard your hearts and minds. The peace of God as guardian to keep guard, to watch over us, to keep us in peace. But then Paul goes on to speak about the God of peace as companion with us. There it is at the end of verse 9. Practice these things and the God of peace will be with you. Not only the peace of God as guardian, but the God of peace as companion. The God of peace will be with you. Well, how does that come about? Well, again, Paul sets before us in verses 8 and 9, things to consider, things to do, and what the result will be. How do we get to know this peace? Well, it's not by emptying our minds. That's what some people think. The Eastern religions, yoga and meditation, you've got to empty your mind. No, that's not what Paul says. You've got to fill your mind, actually. Anxieties tend to fill our minds. But Paul says, no, don't let those fill your minds. Fill your minds with these things. And also, it's not mindfulness. That's meditating on things without judgment. Mindfulness is about not judging things. It's just letting your mind consider the things that are there. No, Paul says you've got to judge and be discerning what goes into your mind. And so he says, don't give credit to what is false, flippant, wrong, dirty, obnoxious, or offensive, but rather whatever is true, whatever is honourable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable. If there's any excellence, anything worthy of praise, think about these things. These are the things that we've got to place in our minds and occupy our thoughts with. And not only things to think about, but things to practice. And so I think Paul is underlining that with what he goes on to say in verse 9. Whatever you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things. Paul had exampled this, he'd modeled this before the Philippians during his time with them. And so he's encouraging them to put into practice. And for us, that means everything that is apostolic. That's what Paul's saying, what you've learned, received, heard and seen in me, whatever Paul set before them regarding living. Well, for us, whatever direction for living that's contained in the apostolic scriptures, we haven't just got to study them. We've got to do them. We've got to do those things that we see revealed in the apostolic word set before us. And these things, the things that we're to occupy our minds with, the things that we're to put into practice in our lives, it's a bit like the bark that you see people putting in their gardens that retard weeds. You see people spreading this bark across their gardens to retard the weeds, and they put loads of it on. Well, that's what we've got to do. We've got to fill our minds and fill our lives with these things to enable the retarding of those weedy worries. Well, Paul says, if you do think about these things and practice these things, the God of peace will be with you. Isn't it wonderful when you are agitated and worried, when you're frightened, to have someone with you who is calm and composed? When we're scared and frightened, to have someone with us who is calm and composed. Well, that's the very thing that Paul is promising here. The God of peace will be with you. In those times of agitation and worry, this calm and composed and serene God will be your companion. He will be with you. And that can give such assurance and comfort as we wake our way through this troubled life, to know God with us. Just as we were thinking this morning, Jacob, the promise that I will be with you. But again, the promise is renewed here. The God of peace will be with you. And so we have this glorious promise of the God of peace as companion. The peace of God as guardian, the God of peace as companion. Let me quote again another great hymn, like, a river glorious is God's perfect peace, over all victorious in its bright increase, perfect, yet it floweth fuller every day, perfect, yet it groweth deeper all the way. Stayed upon Jehovah, hearts are fully blessed, finding, as he promised, perfect peace and rest. Hidden in the hollow of his blessed hand, never foe can follow, never traitor stand. We may trust him fully, all for us to do. They who trust him wholly find him wholly true. Stayed upon Jehovah, hearts are fully blessed, finding, as he promised, perfect peace and rest. There is much that would disturb our peace in this world, this sad and sinful world, this broken world. There is much that would make us anxious and worried. Well, here we have the antidote to those things. to pour out our hearts to God in prayer, to open up our needs to him who knows and loves us, and his peace will be guardian, the garrison of our hearts and minds. And then to fill our hearts and minds with these positive, God-glorifying, God-honoring things, and we'll have the God of peace as companion. These are the promises that God makes to us in grace and in Christ Jesus. We're going to conclude by singing that great hymn, God be with you till we meet again. Yes, we long to meet again physically, and yet until whenever we meet, we can know God's presence with us. And this hymn sets before us the privilege to have God with us. Thank you. Some words from Isaiah 26. You keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord God is an everlasting rock. Amen.
Thank you very much, Peter, for bringing God's word to us, and what a comfort and encouragement for all of us. And we thank you that we have that God who gives us his peace and be with us. I hope that you can all stay behind, and then we can split up into smaller groups and have a bit of time of fellowship together. But if you need to go, we do fully understand it. But I do hang around if you possibly can, as we encourage one another. Thank you.